Let's change tack a little bit here. Now, obviously, a few weeks ago, we got the very sad news that we lost a good friend of yours in Michael Robinson. And I didn't actually realize until we saw that there was a quote that came from you that how incredibly linked your lives actually were.
I first met him. I mean, he lived in Blackpool. I lived in St. Anne's, Lytham St. Anne's. We used to travel in together to train. I first met him playing cricket against him. He was playing for Blackpool. I was playing for Preston. And caught him out, stopped him getting 50. He was on 47, not out. Unbelievable catch, not. And we sort of knew each other then. We knew of each other. Because I was actually on a Sunday, I was playing for a team in Blackpool, a Sunday league team and stuff, and he was playing for, like, there was two really good teams. He played for one, I played for the other. So he then came to Preston when I was already there. I don't think I didn't play in the first team with him at Preston because he would be about a year below me. Obviously, I went to Brighton. Robbo got in the first team at Preston. My step father was a director of the football club who sold him to Manchester City for 750 grand. It was an absolute steal. My stepfather Tom said to me, Man City started bidding at £250,000 and it went to 750,000 because Malcolm Allison was the manager and he told the chairman, I think it was Peter Swales, said, We're desperate to this fellow. He's going to be an absolute world beater. Then, of course, next thing is he turns up at Brighton. Followed me playing for Ireland, and when I went to Liverpool, so this would be I went in what 81, so I think Robbo joined in about 83. I think pre-season we're in Switzerland. Joe Fagan had just been announced the new manager, and I came downstairs one morning. I think we were playing that night. Came downstairs one morning, and he said, oh, "I need to have a word with you," and I thought, "Oh, I'm in trouble," and we called him Joe. We didn't call him boss. He just wanted to be called Joe. I said, What have I done, Joe? He said, No, you're all right. He said, Michael Robinson. I said, Do you know what, Joe? I said, He's followed me around everywhere. And he said, Well, I've got news for you. He's coming. He's on his way here today. So, I mean, that was good. But, yeah, and he did. You know, I remember when he came to the club at Liverpool. And it is daunting because you just look around and you see all these players and all these, like, you know, winning three trophies every year and all that kind of stuff. And he just said to me, What's it like? I said, Oh, it's crap. Obviously joking. He said, What do I need to do? And I just said, Look, I said, They bought you for the way that you play. Don't change the way that you play because if you do, you won't be anywhere near the team because there's a certain Dalglish who's a genius and a fella called Ian Rush who scores for fun. I said, so just do what you do, which was obviously, you know, he held the ball up well, he was big and he was strong, and he was a handful, got you some goals. And he did really well. He had a good run in the team because Kenny got injured. And Kenny broke his cheekbone and stuff. So I think Michael has the best pro rata record of any Liverpool player in terms of games linked to trophies. I worked it out. I think he played 51, 52 games. And won three trophies. So it's like for every 17 games, he won a trophy. And it was better than anybody who was there. And we'd all won. Why ended up winning 11 or 12 or whatever. But he did great. And the thing about him, you know, and I tweeted a few times about him that obviously when he passed away, he just always had a smile on his face. And he loved a lunch. And he was well into the old boy network at Madrid. With Real Madrid, he was invited with like Alfredo Di Stefano, which is like he was just an absolute god who played for Real Madrid and that. And they'd meet once a month on a Wednesday lunchtime, and he'd be there and holding the court and stuff like that. He was just a great fellow. And if you think about what he did, you know, he was a bit like Des Lynam, like what Des did with Match of the Day and Grandstand and all those kind of things. But actually, he was doing it in a second language. And when you really sit and think about that, you think, wow. And I think also his program, which was basically, I think in Spanish it meant, you know, the day after, which was the Monday, after everyone had played, it was a little bit of an irreverent look, and they didn't slaughter the referee and all that. They just said, well, they got a job to do. And I think it was just the way that he did it that everybody loved. And his favorite story, and of course he told everyone, because that's the way that Robbo was that. He'd interviewed Seve Ballesteros, and they'd been for lunch in Madrid. And he said, after a few glasses of red and stuff, they came out and were walking down the street to go separate ways. And he said, they bumped into seven different people. Six of them asked for Robbo's autograph and only one asked for Sebby's. That's Robbo, and he just dines out on, well, he did dine out and stuff like that. So it was a big shot. We knew he was poorly, but in the last weeks and months, he wasn't anywhere to be seen or heard. So I presume, obviously, then, obviously, he'd almost sort of had the bad news what was going to happen, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I mean, Graham C. Ness was very close to him as well, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Graham. Well, Graham talked to him all the time. In fact, they struck up a real kind of healthy relationship at the club. I mean, they lived out on the Wirral. But I can't remember exactly, but when Graham left to go to Sampdoria after we won the European Cup in 84 in Rome, he bought Robbo like a Cartier bracelet thing, just, you know, a male version of it, just for being his mate, which obviously was a touch of class.
Now, obviously, Robbo was he was a hero here at Brighton as well. He still holds the top flight scoring record, which I don't think will ever be beaten, actually. I mean, he came a bit earlier than you thought. Must have been 82 that he came.
Okay.
And he scored 22 goals for us that season, which is still a record. Which I don't think will be beaten.
No, well, I mean, if you ask most Brighton fan or even an ex-player, I would have thought Wardy would have done that, but Wardy didn't score too many goals in Div 1, did he?
No, his hot streak in the first, in the old second division and third division, yeah. But I mean, Wardy was, yeah. Well, we all know Wardy. He's a good egg, Wardy. And but Robbo's record there, and of course, the 83 Cup final as well, which still gets talked about a heck of a lot around here. And I mean, I've got to ask you, should he have passed?
Yeah. I think it was the right decision to pass, to be fair. I think the thing with Robbo is he wasn't a cool finisher. Do you know what I mean? I think when he had time to think about it, it wasn't quite the same. When it just happened and he biffed it, it worked. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Gordon Smith's still apologising for that miss even now. So he says, everyone talked about the miss. What about the save from Gary Bailey? Is his argument? Yeah. But you obviously followed him into the media as well. And as you mentioned there, his career in Spain, like, and again in a second language, is absolutely incredible. Yeah. And you know, he was such a big star in Spain, wasn't he?
Well, he was massive. He was. I can't really think of anybody that I can compare him to in this country, because there really seriously wasn't. Not in a way where, as I said before, it was his second language. And I think that was, I remember when he first started, and he went to Osasuna, didn't he? He said to himself in Osasuna that, you know what, I'm not going to be one of those lads that can't do an interview after a match, you know, speak like broken Spanglish or whatever it was. And he really did get his head down and, you know, studied the language. But what they were saying was, why they really liked him was that he got quite a lot of it wrong, but he wasn't frightened to do it. And they loved him. And many people they just liked the fact that he'd be on doing an interview. And while technically it might not have been, you know, A1, grade one, whatever, it was still brilliant. So in terms of, they absolutely loved it.
But I mean, also, didn't he buy your house in Brighton as well?
Listen, he stole it off me. He didn't buy it. It was, I'd had it all done up and it was in the driveway. And I tell you what, I'm trying to think how much he paid for it. I think he paid 67 grand, and I should have got at least 90. I was far too soft.